my trust runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, before thee and in thy presence, that we come again this beautiful day. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of our lives, for thy watch guarding protection over us through the dark shades of another night. We thank thee, dear Father, that while we slumbered and slept, that thy watchful eye was looking over us, that thy protecting hand was around us. May we bless our Father to have the privilege of looking out upon the light of another beautiful day. May we bless our Father with this happy privilege of making our way to this broadcasting station, this beautiful, sunshiny day, for the purpose, our Father, of trying in our weak way to preach the gospel of the Son of God. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the Spirit of the Lord may be upon us in this hour, and grant, dear Lord, that thou wilt bring to our minds that portion of Scripture to be for thy glory and for the betterment of humanity. Bless we pray, our Father, all who may be listening in this afternoon. May we, our Heavenly Father, not lean to our own understanding, but may we acknowledge thee, our God, in this hour. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that this message this afternoon may reach the hearts of many, many people. May it be, our Father, if it could be thy will, that after that we are dead and gone, that someone may be enabled to stand up and say, the Lord is my shepherd. Bless our family who may be listening in this afternoon. Bless one and bless all. May the name of the Lord be glorified in this hour, that thy cause may be advanced. May some lost soul be saved from this broadcast even today. We shall ever give thee the praise as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're happy indeed to be here this afternoon in this broadcast service. Brother Robinson already announced the service is great. Many souls are being saved. People are coming to the altar and praying through and putting their trust in the Lord, being made happy in His love. The first verse of the 23rd Psalm will be the text for this occasion. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We notice in this statement, the word shepherd implies one great truth. That is ownership. Ownership means investment. Investment tells the idea of the investor assuming the responsibility of caring for what is invested. Therefore, it is the Lord's responsibility to protect, direct, and provide for us. Then we call your attention to this thought. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We want to notice some of the things that we shall not want for. First, we shall not want for a covenant or a contract, one that will stand. A contract that's made between two parties, entered into between two parties, then for that contract to fail, one of the parties must go down on his part of the contract. But in this contract or covenant shall be an everlasting contract or covenant. In Jeremiah 32:40, we read, God said, speaking to his children, I'll make an everlasting covenant with ye, that I will not turn away from you, to do you good. That I put my fear in your heart, that ye shall not depart from me. We notice in this covenant or contract, God said shall be an everlasting contract, an everlasting covenant, that I will not turn away from you to do you good. Someone will say, that's fine, but what about your part of it? And I want to say now, as far as our part's concerned, we have nothing to do with it. This is a contracted covenant that God made with his children. He didn't consult us about it. But he did say, that I will not turn away from you to do you good. Then in addition to that, he said, I'll put my fear in your heart, that ye shall not depart from me. Not only then shall we not want for the covenant or contract, but something else we shall not want for. We shall never want for a Savior. In 1 John 4:14 we read, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We notice again that the Bible said that Christ is the Savior of all men, and a special Savior of those that believe. Not a special Savior of those who may join the church. Not a special Savior of those who may be baptized, but a special Savior of those that believe. Then I say, we shall never want for a Savior. Not only so, but we shall never want for a keeper. Because of the fact that the Bible said, the Apostle Paul made the statement in which he said, that I've gotten you again unto a lively hope for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that which fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Then I say, beloved, this afternoon, you who have believed in Jesus, you who are saved, you don't have to get ready, because of the fact we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Not only so, but we shall never want for a brother. Many, many times, our brothers in the flesh, they all leave, they pass away, and go to their long home. But we do have one brother today. That brother will be ours tomorrow. That brother will be ours next week and next year. And no difference what may come or go, we'll always have a brother and shall never want for a brother. The Bible tells us that we are heirs of God. And being if heirs, we are joined heirs of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I say, to have a brother, there must be a birth. Then for an individual to be a brother to Jesus Christ, it's an evident fact that he must be born into the same family that Jesus belongs to. God is his heavenly Father. He is begotten by the Holy Spirit. And that being true, then it is to be a brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, we must be born into the same family, which is God's family. And the way that's brought about, in 1 John 5:1, it says that whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Not only then shall we ever want for a brother, but something else we shall not want for. We shall never want for life. L-I-F-E, life. In John 5:24, we have this language. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Then I say that this everlasting life is long enough for me. In that being true, as we look out today and thinking of this everlasting life that the believer comes in possession of, when yonder sun shall fail to shine, when the moon shall be no more, when the stars of heaven shall fall, when this whole earth shall rock to and fro as a drunk man, when the elements shall melt with fervent heat, when the heaven that now is shall pass away as a scroll, when this whole earth shall be burned up, and when the body is brought forth from the grave, and the soul and body reunited together, and when we have reached our mansion at last, and after then that we have been there, even millions of years, we'll still be enjoying this everlasting life that we gain possession of when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So then we shall never want for wine. No, not only so, but we shall never want for hope. Reading a statement in the Apostle's writing in which he said that where God swears by himself, because he can swear by no greater, that he swear by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, that we might lay hope upon the hope that set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and reaches into that within the veil where the forerunner, which is Jesus, has entered for us. Now then, this anchor, which is our hope, as the Bible says, it reaches into that. What that is, God only knows, but it's something that's tied on, so to speak, to our soul, and reaches younger into that by the forerunner, which is Jesus, has entered for us. Now, the two immutable things, as the Bible says, that God swear by these two immutable things, as in which it's impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation, to fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope which is set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, and that is sure. Then anything that's sure cannot fail. Anything that's steadfast, therefore, cannot be moved. And then our hope, my beloved, it's sure and can't fail. It's steadfast and can't be moved. From that reason, we shall never want. Speaking with reference to this hope that we have, and going on in that way, he made this statement and said that we shall never want for this hope, not only shall want for the hope, and even in that, because it's sure, that it's steadfast. Then we shall never want for someone to help us, because reading in Psalms, 123:1. And David said, "I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Then that being true, we shall never want for someone to help us. Not only so, but we shall never want for someone to comfort us. Then we call your attention to John 14, and in that statement he said, 16 I believe it is, and it reads like this, "And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Then this comforter has come to stay. Not only did Jesus say that this comforter shall be with you, but he said, shall dwell with you and shall be in you. Now there are people in the world who say there's no such a thing as the Spirit of God dwelling in the hearts of people. You don't have to judge folks like that, because Jesus said the world cannot receive the Spirit. Then the person who said that the Spirit of God doesn't dwell in the hearts of people, that person is the witness for himself that he doesn't have it as not a child of God. So then, that being true, we shall never want for someone to comfort us. Not only so, but we shall never want for someone to love us. As the Apostle John said, that the Lord loved his own, and that he loved them unto the end. And in that being true, we may feel like sometimes we don't have a friend in the world. We might feel like that no one loves us at all. But we can always realize that there is one that loves us, and that is Jesus. So we shall never want for someone to love us. Reading again in Romans 8:35, the Apostle Paul made the statement and said, I'll ask the question rather, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, persecution, nakedness, or peril, or sword? As is written, we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not only so, but we shall never want for the bread of life. Then in John, the 6th chapter, we have of this language. We read in the statement, and he said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as is written, he gave them bread from heaven. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then we notice again that Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. That if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Then I say, beloved, this afternoon, that person who comes to the Lord and eats of this bread of life, then it is Jesus said that he shall live forever. Not only did he say that, but he said that he shall never hunger anymore. And then it is true that this is a spiritual work of God Almighty that caused these bodies, these bread, to sustain this natural life. But this bread which Jesus gives is that spiritual bread, that bread of life, that a person may eat thereof and never die. Not only then shall we never want for the bread of life, but we shall never want for the water of life. In the 4th chapter of John, Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, he said, if you drink of this water, you shall thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I shall give you, shall never thirst, but shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. In other words, it's a well that never goes dry. It's a water that satisfies that person when he comes and drinks to his satisfaction. Then I say that this is a spiritual work, because John, the 7th chapter of the 8th chapter, I believe, in the 37th verse, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of him shall flow rivers of living water. Thus spake he of the Spirit. Not only so, shall we ever
want for the one of life, but we shall never want for a shepherd. You're reading in John the 10th chapter, and Jesus makes of this statement. You know, he made this statement and said, I'm the good shepherd. We shall never want for a good shepherd. A good shepherd is one who cares for the sheep. David was a good shepherd, the author of our text. He was a shepherd boy. A bear came one time and caught a lamb, and he slew the bear and rescued the lamb. A lion came one time and caught a lamb, and he slew the lion and rescued the lamb. The reason why he did that was because of that love that he had as a shepherd boy for his sheep. And then I say, beloved, we shall never want for a good shepherd. So reading then in John 10 and 11, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Then in the 27th verse he said, you know, kidnapping is a very severe crime. Millions of dollars have been spent, and thousands of lives, no doubt, have been lost because of kidnapping. But in God's family, there's no kidnapping in God's family. In the 27th verse, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Bless God today for a good shepherd like that. One that watches over us, one that cares for us, one that protects us. And then as we said at the outset, it's the Lord's responsibility, my brother, to do this for every one of us. Then something else we shall not want for. We shall never want for a home. We may be paupers down here. We may live in a little shack beside the road. But if we're a child of God, thank God, my brother, there's a beautiful home that's waiting for us on the other side. Jesus came, you remember, in John 14, and his disciples, when they were sad, said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We may be just as poor as the poorest down here, but one of these days, thank God, after a while, we'll sit down in our mansion on the other side that's prepared for us by our Lord. Something else we shall never want for, and that is, we shall never want for someone that even go with us or be with us in the hour of death. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. May I say, beloved, this afternoon, what the world needs is something that makes them not afraid. Out yonder somewhere, everyone must face the hour, and only our shepherd can give us joy and comfort in that hour. I want to tell you a little of my experience, which illustrates this in a way. When I was just a little boy, I was afraid of all, as all little boys are. I visited one of the neighbors late one afternoon, and I stayed, began to get dusky dark, and I started back home. And I believe the name rode and went across the pass, across the scope of woods where there's a holler. Really, I was afraid to start with. But when I got to where this path left the main road to go over home, oh, I was so afraid. And I walked on down, and it's getting pretty dark. And before I got to holler, I stopped and looked, and oh, my heart was beating. I was so afraid. I looked across on the other side, and I discovered it looked like a man standing there I stood there so afraid. Just a little bit, and that man was my father. He said, Luther, are you afraid? I said, I have been, but I'm not now. My father came down and took the little boy by the hand in the dark place of the road, and every bit of the afraid, thank God, was gone. Then my brother and sister, when they come to the end of the way, realizing the Lord is our shepherd, there'd be no fear there because he would be present. Go with us across the valley, and they shudder of death. Long may it be that the big job will, even should be my little girl, that after I'm dead and gone, if this sermon should be preached, this is not a Christian, may it be the means of causing her to be able to say when she's gone the end of the way, the Lord is my shepherd.